Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang. Welcome along to Chinwag with yours truly, Sister Bang Bang of the Manchester Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence. Stand by for lots of malicious gossip, wicked chit-chat,
and nothing but the whole truth.
No way.
It's Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang.
What's more?
Today's show contains words of wisdom, sublime words, and rude words too. So if you're of a nervous disposition, fly away, my pretty. If, however, you're made of sterner stuff, then settle back for another fabulous edition of...
Hiya kids, Sister Bang Bang here with another fabulous edition of Chinwag. You're not going to believe where I'm sat today. A gorgeous room with a big marble fireplace, enough seating for a coachload of pensioners, and marvellous antique furniture. We're looking through a large gap in the wall. We see a huge dining table with, what, about 12 seats on that? It's the Lord Mayor's parlour. I'm in Manchester Town Hall on the fourth floor, enjoying the decadence. In fact, I might possibly move in at a later date. Why am I here? Because sat next to me is Lord Mayor of Manchester, Carl Austin Behan. Hello!
Good afternoon.
It's gorgeous in here, isn't it?
It is. You used to be able to live here until 1984.
Really? Is there a bedroom as well?
There is bedrooms down the bottom.
This is outrageous. You wouldn't think this in a town hall, would you?
No. I mean, it is beautiful, and it's just great to have this opportunity.
It's to talk to me. Yes, I know where you're coming from there. Now, do I address you as Lord Mayor or as Carl?
It's Carl.
Good. And one thing I do enjoy the fact we've got glasses of wine. Oh. A cheeky little white one.
And it wasn't your choice. I was quite happy to offer it.
You were, yes. And I think you probably popped into Tesco to buy that, didn't you? Now... Okay, so we're going to talk about the fact that you are Lord Mayor of Manchester this year. And not only are you proud, we're very proud as well that you've got this marvellous privilege and the ability to do things even bigger and better than before. But let's take you back in time a little bit, Carl.
Okay, how far are we going back?
Well, actually, let's take you an awful long way back in time. When you were this little Carl.
Seven.
All right, then. Seven, when Carl was seven. What was little Carl like?
To be fair, at school, I was a bit of a loner. I had a few friends, but I just used to dive in. I had a couple of friends that were proper friends that I still keep in touch with now. But I used to sort of delve in and out of people, really, rather than sort of have a set group of friends.
Delve in and out of people? That sounds a bit raunchy.
You're taking that to another level. Delving out of groups of people.
Right, okay. So, bit of a loner, but we set it out of your stall.
I used to be in Boys Brigade from the age of five. So I used to enjoy that a lot. And I used to, as I was growing up, it became a big part of my life, Boys Brigade. And sort of just that thing where... You still had the discipline, you still had things, you had a structure.
Right. It's a bit like Cub Scouts, isn't it, in a way?
Yeah, exactly the same as Cubs, but we had a blue uniform and we had a pointed hat.
Have you still got photographs?
There's plenty of photographs, yes.
We need to dig them out. So, little Carl at school, what was he like?
Little Carl at school. I do keep saying that, don't I? Well, I don't know. I think I enjoyed school, but at the same time, I enjoyed it for school, but I knew I was gay from probably the age of seven.
Right, how did you realise that?
Just by other boys that things happened, and that it was just an experience you go through. And as growing up, I knew I was different, but I suppose at that time... Back in 1982, it was different because then I'd be about 10. But there was no labels then. There was nothing to say what you were as a child.
Strange you should say that. It's reminded me of me when I was the little Bang Bang, and somebody turned to me and said, "Are you?" When I was probably about 11 or 12 at the time, and said, "Are you?"
How old are you now?
Yeah, and I was asked.
No, I'm trying to work out whether we're a similar age. What year were you born?
Well, of course we are. Yeah, it's probably around about the same time, Carl. Oh. Don't go into it. Don't even think about it. It's as natural as you like. But somebody turned to me and said, are you homosexual? And I went, I don't know, because I'd never heard the word before.
It's a strange word, especially as growing up, because, you know, you get people at school saying you were gay, and you sort of just thought gay was, you know, your Larry Graysons, your sort of camp sort of comics. You didn't really understand what gay was. Mm. So, yeah, I suppose it's a strange word because you wouldn't understand what homosexual is. And I suppose even if you asked a seven-year-old now, they wouldn't know what homosexual was.
Mm. Well, that world bubble's a lot smaller, isn't it? They've got more things on their mind, like...
Playing in the schoolyard.
Yes. Playing with your marbles and your gobstoppers.
And your hula hoops.
And your hula hoops. Thank you, yes. This wine's already going to my brain. I'll have another little...
Joey slurp like that.
Yeah. So, what were you good at school?
Lego.
I love that.
I love that. I used to love Lego. Lego and train sets. Obviously not at school, because you were supposed to be doing something a bit more academic. I was never very good at school, hence the reason why I left school with one GCSE in drama.
Well, you certainly use that to the most advantage, haven't you?
I've tried to sort of keep things real, but I tried. You know, I tried my best, but it just wasn't good enough. Right. As in the fact of, I always used to try and do the homework to the best of my ability. I always used to try and listen, but I remember in French classes at Abram Moss, I used to sit at the back and blow balloons up with my nose because. It was a bit like attention seeking, but you can if you get it and you get the balloon right and then you're blowing it up and you're sort of squeezing your nose properly, you could get it quite big.
Blow balloons up with your nose.
That was my French. That's all I learnt in French. However, okay. I did do a trip to Normandy with a school trip. I don't really think there was much to get out of it other than Je m'appelle Carl and Où est la poste, s'il vous plaît?
And let me show you a trick.
Yeah, that was it. I'm just glad it wasn't the long balloons.
Yeah, they're tough, those, aren't they? Yeah.
The end are a bit tweaky.
Actually, Sister Jackie can blow up a balloon, not with a nostril and not. Well, we better not go into that, had we?
I'm sure I can imagine.
And you'd be right as well. So, as you were getting older, as you left school.
Yes.
What were your options at that time?
I actually, when I left school for half a day, I was a butcher.
Half a day?
Right, and the only reason was because they wore a little blue bow tie and a little hat, and I thought it looked lovely. I really fancied the actual uniform. Anyway, and then I did the morning, and I got in trouble straight away because I didn't realise that someone had shown me how to make mincemeat. So I was mincing away. So someone had shown me how to make the mincemeat, and I hadn't realised that you're supposed to use all of the rubbish and the crappy meats and the fat. I was putting proper steaks through it, like, and then doing the mince really cheap. So I got a bit of a bollocking right from the beginning. I went for my lunch and I just never went back. And then I had the nerve to ask them if they were going to pay me. It cost me more for the bow tie and the hat that I'd worn.
But you did end up making quality sausages.
I did, yeah. People loved my sausage.
I'm not surprised. Yeah, you're making it with like prime steak.
Oh, that sausage.
And steady. So what did you do after half a day at the butcher's? What were your career plans from there?
I was a bit lost. I then went to work for a newsagent and assessed four boys. Because I'd had that as a Saturday job. So I did enjoy it. So I'd had that for quite a while anyway. But then I went on this, it was called an assistant manager role at the age of 16. Not really sure they really knew what they were doing. Giving a 16-year-old a role of as an assistant manager. But I enjoyed it. I did that for about 6 months. And then went to work for Thornton's.
Oh, the chocolate people.
I was their first male employee, apparently, in Manchester.
No.
Yeah, who worked in the shops, because they didn't have a uniform for me. So they basically told me, just go and choose something, obviously using the colours. And at the time, it was grey and sort of grey, white and a little bit pink.
I'm dreading to think where you went and what you went and bought. But go on.
I bought some grey dungarees and a pink shirt. And
yeah,
it didn't go down very well, but I did love working there. I did that for about 4 or 5 weeks.
In a pink shirt and grey dungarees?
I did have two of both.
Well, there you go. That solves the problem.
It wasn't just one set.
But what, two pink shirts and two pairs of grey dungarees?
I probably ended up with more than two pink shirts, but yeah. But I did. I thought I looked really nice. I thought I looked great at the age of 16. 16, 17, working for Thornton's, wearing this dungarees and pink shirt.
Actually, I quite like the image of that in a way. Thornton's, if you're listening, you can take note. Lord Mayor is just giving you some fashion advice for your next outfit change. What about freebie chocolates? Do you get any freebies?
I wasn't supposed to.
Ah.
That was where the problem lay, I think.
Was it, whoops, there goes another 24 boxes of chocolates all over the floor, I better eat them
thing. No, it was a case of every time you... Because the chocolates, they had a lot of them were separate. Obviously, you had your big continental boxes, but then you had your ones that people just said, oh, I'll have one of them. Bit like Woolworths Pick and Mix, but...
Right.
But in a Thornton style. And it was just so easy when you went down to go and get the stock. Oh, I'll have another one of them. Oh, I'll have another one of them. And in the end, I just hated them because I just kept eating these chocolates. Right. And obviously, unbeknown to me at the time, because you've ate them and it's still on the premises, it's still classed as theft.
Oh. So do you owe Thornton's any money then?
I'm sure it was... It's gone now.
It's gone now.
It's a bit like everyone would be guilty of pick and mixing Woolworths.
I suppose it's like if you worked in an office, it would be equivalent of a biro, wouldn't it?
Exactly the same. Yeah. Exactly.
So, oops, it's fallen in my bag. Take that home. I'll bring it in tomorrow. And I forgot. That sort of attitude, isn't it?
Would you do that now?
What, in the convent? Well, there isn't anything to nick in a convent.
Yeah, very true. Sorry, I misunderstood there.
We have a life of poverty we have as sisters. You do realise this, Carl, don't you?
Dressed like that?
Well, this is my Lord Mayor bling today. I mean, you don't look so far behind us, love, with your ermine and your chain around, but we'll get to that shortly. So, you've always been imbued with a fashion sense then, have you? Leaving back to the dungarees. I do like the fact of this.
Yeah, I've never been mad on fashion. It's always been a case of what I like, I'll wear, rather than what I'm told to do. But then, obviously, because you've known me quite a while... Then we had the Air Force, so then it became uniform.
Was that a bit of a problem for you, considering you couldn't go out to a shop and buy your own uniform? You had to wear what they had in the whatever, you know.
I liked blue at the time.
Good job.
Maybe if it had a bit of sparkle, it'd have been nicer. However, when I did come out of the Air Force, I did end up spraying my number ones with glitter for a Pride parade one year.
What are your number ones? That's rude, that.
My number one, it's the full military uniform. It's your proper jacket, trousers, bulge shoes and hat.
You sprayed all of that?
I sprayed it with glitter spray.
Fantastic! I love that.
I will find out a picture for that one because I think I look hot on that picture.
You sprayed it. What was it? RAF.
It was RAF uniform. Yeah. And what was bizarre? A friend of mine, Dale, he had to borrow the jacket for something a couple of years ago, and you could still, because I kept it obviously, you could still see quite a bit of the glitter sparkle when the lights were shining on a play that he was doing.
That's Campdale we're talking about.
That's very Campdale, yes.
Yeah, very, very Campdale. He's going to kill us for this, isn't he? I just love the idea you sprayed a whole uniform. Because, of course, one of the mottos in life is you can never have enough glitter.
Obviously not. I'm sure... you know, I'm thinking about putting a glitter ball in here.
What? When was this built, this town hall?
1877.
So, an 1877 old building with a glitter ball in it.
Yeah.
You could have an antique glitter ball. You could antique it up a bit.
We can modernise. It's all about modernising.
Oh, no. You wouldn't want to touch all the old stuff in here. Building and people otherwise.
Some of it I would love to touch.
Listen, love, you're only here a year. Right. So, what happened once you got into the RAF then? What was it like? Were you undercover?
Yeah, obviously, because I had to swear allegiance to the Queen... And even then...
Been part of your life, this, isn't it? Swearing allegiance to the Queen.
Always. I never came out and said that I was gay because you weren't allowed to be gay in the Air Force at the time. Mm. And that was 1991. So 25 years ago, I joined up. And it was a case of living a lie, but living a life that I really enjoyed. I loved the Air Force, and I will never criticise, I'll never say anything negative. But, yeah, I loved it. I started off at Chivna. Well, after training, I started off at Chivna, did about 18 months there. Then we had an aircraft crash. With that, I ended up getting the British Humane Society Bronze Award for Bravery.
Right.
And then from there, I then went to Belize. Then from Belize, I went to Henlow. Then I went to Ascension Island and got mentioned in the Queen's Birthday Honours list for charity work. So I've done a couple of marathons, and they flew me back to do a marathon from there. And then I went to Honington, but then I'd sort of started to come out a little bit. At the age of 21, when I was at Chivna, I'd already tried to come out to my mum on a couple of occasions, but she didn't want to accept that I was gay. She said it was a phase I was going through.
Never heard that one before.
I know. It's a weird thing, isn't it, that it's a phase you're going through? Because I think a lot of people go through that. I think a lot of people end up with people saying, oh, no, it's just a phase. But it is. It's a massive part of your life that I think that people need to sort of embrace and sort of accept that. But can't hold it against her. You know, she was probably doing what she thought was best, especially she thought that my dad would sort of kick off and be quite funny. So then I got engaged at 21. And then, so then I just thought it was easier just to disappear. So that was when I went to Belize. Then, when I went to Honington, I'd started coming back to Manchester quite a lot of the weekend and seeing guys in Manchester. So then I just decided that it was probably time, just to be honest. So I started telling a few people. I told a few people in the Air Force who I knew and that I worked with. They were fine about it. One lad was quite funny. He was like, when I go home to my girlfriend and we sit on the sofa and we cuddle, what do you do when you go back? And I was like, yeah. It felt strange having to explain.
You do the same.
That you do exactly the same.
Yeah.
So then in about the April, I'd started seeing this guy in the March in Manchester, and then I'd just got promoted. So I was going to be a corporal, and I was going off to AFSENT, which was between Belgium and Holland. Dream posting, something. I'd only been in the Air Force 6 years at the time. I was on nines and spec rec, which is like, you know, like when people check what work you're doing, whether or not you've reached a certain potential. So I'd done really, really well, and I loved it, and I put everything into it. But then he then contacted the Air Force to tell them that I was gay so that I would get kicked out and then I would come and set up home in Manchester.
Oh, right. Okay. Did you stay with him long?
Well, what happened was, because I'd been kicked out of the Air Force, to be fair, when the Air Force got me in, I knew they were going to do it because he'd sort of said that this is what he'd done. And at the time, you know when things are new to you and you feel like you're in love. And let's not forget, I'd had a couple of, you know, I'd had flings with people, I'd sort of slept with people and everything like that. So it was nothing big. But when you actually feel like you can be in a relationship and it's your first relationship, you'll do anything, won't you?
Right.
Do you know? I know people may think, what the bloody hell were you doing?
Well, you don't know the rules and regulations sort of thing, do you? You don't know what to do.
No, it's new, isn't it? It's new. It's exciting. And I'm sure everyone's done it with the first boyfriend, girlfriend, and you do what you can. And that was my first proper, when I say proper boyfriend, it was the first person that had a house and that showed affection and that I felt, ooh, we could make something of this. And then, so it was a case of when the Air Force turned around and said to me, we've had information, do you have homosexual tendencies? If I'd have said no to them, I know hand on heart that they would have never asked that question again and it'd have been a case of, fine, leave it as it is. But it was that wake-up call for me as well to sort of go, I need to be myself, I need to live my own life. I was 24 at this point. It's a big world out there, and I knew that they could either kick me out or they could just dismiss it, but no, they did kick me out. But they did suspend me for 6 months because it was going through Europe. It was initially going through the European Parliament in 97. Obviously, it didn't get put through until 2000, but they can only suspend you for 6 months. And they were great with me. They were fine. There was no issue. I have no malice. I have no bad words to say for the Air Force at all. Mm.
But you came out, I suppose, living more of an honest life. Then,
yeah, I did. And then, going back to the question before, I ended up moving in with him. Only after about 3 weeks, he said he felt a little bit pressured. He wanted a night just to himself. So I went and stayed with a friend. And then the next morning, I thought, oh, I'll go to the gym. My gym stuff was at the apartment where he lived. So I went round, door was locked. I had a key, wouldn't work. He eventually opened the door and I found him in bed with his boyfriend, his ex-boyfriend.
Right, okay. Sounds as though he had difficulties, didn't he, really?
I think he was a little bit messed up anyway. But, you know, these things do make you stronger. I then moved into his spare room, which is a bit random.
It's a bit oh, blimey-ish as well, isn't it? Boyfriend and then suddenly ending up in the spare room.
Yeah, and all within a matter of probably about 3 months of, you know, all this was going on, being kicked out of the Air Force, dumped, then living in a spare room. It was quite manipulating, just weird. Mm. And it's hard to explain that how can you let yourself get into that position or that situation, but you do.
I don't think it's letting yourself get into that position, isn't it? You were a victim of circumstance in that the latter part, weren't you, really? You made your own decision with the Air Force, you know, weren't you? You wanted to know the right way forward and did it.
Yes.
Turning the boyfriend, you don't really have any control over what happened there.
No. And it's hard because you just at the time, you just don't know what to do for the best, other than you think that you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
That sounds really poo as a statement, but it's true. You just go along with it.
So what did you do to break out of this?
I did go and move back to mum and dad's for a little while. I then got a job working at Asda in...
The butchery department?
No, I didn't do the butchery. I started off doing nights, packing. Yeah. Then did a bit of the greeting. Then did the sales, well, you know, the tills and then the customer service. I loved it. It was a real people person type thing. I remember they did a promotion to sell the Christmas saving stamps. So I ended up making this costume to be a big saving stamp. And I was walking around the shop trying to sell these stamps. You know, that you do.
Another costume here, folks. You've heard it again. Carl is making costumes.
I do love my costumes.
You don't you?
I've got about 4 Curva boxes in my loft, just full of different fancy dress costumes.
Well, maybe that's your next Sunday party.
Yeah,
that's how I haven't been invited to yet. But
we should do a Lord Mayor's fancy dress ball.
That would be great. That would probably work quite well, wouldn't it? That'd be a bit like the George House Trust drag ball in a way.
I might try and go to that.
Well, I hope so, because I'm going to be there and I've got a totally new outfit for it.
What would I wear?
I reckon you'd be fabulous in your full Lord Mayor outfit. Do you have, like, ermines and big cloaks now?
I've got my robes, yes.
I mean, that would suit perfectly, because it's a black tie type of event, but, of course, people who want to drag up go in very formal, gorgeous gear. It's not tacky drag.
So I'd look in place. I'll find a photograph for you shortly so you can tell me whether or not that would work.
Does it have a train on it?
It's got a nice little swiffy bit to it, yes.
Yeah. Oh, there'll be lots of swiffy bits at the drag ball, yeah. You'd be fabulous.
And my feathers hat.
Yeah, I can picture you now. In fact, we'll need to go and find the wardrobe somewhere around here. You are listening to Tune Wag with Sister Bang Bang and my very special guest today, Carl Austin Behan, the Lord Mayor of Manchester, no less.
Do you fancy a right good night out?
A night full of comedy, glamour and camp?
Well, make a date. June the 25th, the grand opening of the Village Show Bar.
You'll love our outrageous entertainment.
Lots of drink promotions and, of course, your in-house show team.
Oh, and don't forget the American-style cuisine. Mm.
So don't forget, the 25th of June,
the Village Show Bar.
Right opposite Churchill's. See you there.
The Village Show Bar.
Joy Bar. Hi, friends. friends at Sister Indica, your homegirl for life. Not only am I gorgeous, not only am I a sister of perpetual indulgence, but I'm also host of the podcast Joy Bomb. I rant and rave about pop culture, politics, music, TV, and more. I interview all sorts of interesting people and play underground music you probably don't know but should. So what's stopping you? Subscribe on iTunes.
Joy Bomb.
If it's good enough for Sister Bang Bang, it's good enough for you.
Malicious gossip, wicked chit-chat, and nothing but the whole truth. It's Chinwag with Sister Bang Bang. Goodbye.
It is Chinwag with yours truly, Sister Bang Bangladesh, and I'm so honoured here. Normally I'm in some sort of old tacky dregs of a room, or, you know, chucked out on the street or some noisy cafe. Today, no, I'm in the Lord Mayor's parlour of the Manchester Town Hall. It's looking beautiful, lovely, lush carpets, decadent antique furniture, and we're enjoying a little glass of bubbly. Lisey?
It's going down very well.
It is going down, but it's going down far too quickly. Now, we've been talking about your life, and we'll certainly come back to that, but are you ready now to play Bang Bang's Quick Six?
Six Quick Bang Bang.
Six Quick Bang Bangs, yes, if that's what you would call it. And I'm going to have trouble with you today, I knew this. Six quick questions, six long answers. Six quick questions, six long answers. See? Yeah. The rule is you can't ask for further clarification on them. You've just got to go with what you think it's going to be.
And is it straight away? Is it straight away, or do I get...
You can think a little, yes. Okay. Not too much. 0.5 of a second, something like that. Right, number one. Question number one. Heaven or hell?
Heaven.
And you've got to tell me why.
Because I think we're all beautiful people, and I believe that there's a place up there for everybody.
So this is hinting that you may be a little religious then?
No. Do you know what? I went to church a lot when I was younger because of Boys Brigade. And one thing that over the last few weeks I've had to go to quite a lot of church services because, you know, Manchester's renowned for its beliefs and its culture. So I've ended up going to various churches, and some are very evangelical. But I went to one on Sunday, just gone, and it was called Society Sunday. And it was the traditional gospel singing, doing "Oh Happy Day," and it was like they make you feel so welcome. And I think if I'd have gone to a church like that as a kid, then I probably would believe in God more, because it was just, it's so spiritual in a nice, loving way that everyone just sort of, you feel a warmth as soon as you walk in. The church I went to, it was as cold as anything. It was like an igloo. Four people used to attend to it. I was in the choir on my own, and it was just not welcoming at all. But there, you know, it's just, it's lovely. There's something about it.
Mm. Something that it feels as though they're giving you a big hug all the time.
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, they sang, I did a speech for them to wish them well and say how amazing the church was and how much they're doing in the community and loving the fact they've got, like, little Boys and Girls Brigade there and everything, and reaching out. And the weird thing is, because you've been preached by them earlier on and they've told you how much God is wonderful and, you know, worship and joyful, you start to speak like that when you're doing a speech, and you're sort of saying how amazing the building is and praise the Lord, because if it wasn't for you in this church, it turns you that way. And I'm not knocking it and I'm not faulting it. And I think it just gives you such a warmth of feeling that people actually appreciate you being there rather than just quite, thanks for coming.
Yeah. Yeah, it gives it more of a focus, doesn't it?
Yes, yes.
Lovely. So that was question one. You're definitely a heaven-type person.
I'm a heaven-type person. And going off the heaven motto is the fact that it was one of the best nightclubs in London.
Do you know, I had a feeling you were going to say that. Yeah. Oh, the days of heaven. It's still going now, though, isn't it?
It is, but, I mean, it's changed completely. Yeah. I mean, like, I had some brilliant, bizarre nights in heaven. Mm. Obviously, not for this, but they were fantastic. And, you know, growing up in Manchester, having fun, going down to London, you'd make a weekend of it. And now it's just so easy. I'm surprised more people don't go to London because it's only 2 hours, 6 minutes on the train. Yeah. And then just come back and, you know, we've had some brilliant nights in Manchester with Paradise and Essential and Cruise. But, yeah, I used to love my Heaven nights.
It's a little touristy thing for us lot, isn't it?
It is. London. It is, and it's that thing where you can get... It's a bit of escapism as well.
Yeah. Well, I remember seeing Divine on stage there, Lily Savage coming wheeled out in a tank. And I remember also being in Heaven when MTV premiered the first ever showing of Michael Jackson's Thriller video.
Now you are showing your age.
Well, it might have not been the first time, though. But yeah, heady days there. Okay, that was question one, Heaven or Hell. Question two in Bang Bang's Quick Six. Is it going to be money or fame?
Depends how you determine fame, I suppose.
Depends how you describe it.
I would... Oh, that was me asking a question, wasn't it?
Oh. Me throwing it back.
Yes. It depends what fame is, in the sense that being recognised or achieving something... From leaving school at 16 with one GCSE to going through some of the situations I've had in life with the Air Force, with being kicked out of the Air Force, to where we are now with being Lord Mayor of Manchester. You know, I've had quite a few knocks, but it's a case of just picking yourself up and getting on with it. And I suppose the fame bit there is about how you deal with circumstances that you get yourself into and you deal with. So that's how I'd probably say it in a fame thing, that I'm in a privileged position to being recognised as Lord Mayor of Manchester, as still being recognised as Mr Gay UK, 2001. Yes, it was that long ago.
We'll get to more of that story later, folks, but I'm certainly not skirting over it.
And so, yeah, I suppose... In that sense, I suppose it'd be wrong for me not to say the fame, because I think people would expect me to say that because of the fact that I have always, since an early age, wanted to be in the public eye. Mm.
Well, you know, fame stroke celebrity, you know, obviously there's a lot of criticism about that, but you can get a lot of work done, can't you, if you put your name down now against them, you know, like Carl Austin Behan, Lord Mayor, you can get things done with that infamy.
you can. And I think I'm managing to do that quite... I might be blowing my own trumpet, but do it in a way that's proactive, in a way that people actually enjoy. I mean, I'm sure we'll talk more about that shortly, about what things you can do and how you can... make things happen, especially from what we've seen this week. But, yeah, we'll go with that.
OK, right, that's fine. That's fame for you, but you don't mind a bit of money. Like, oh, we've all got to pay the bills at the end
of the
day.
We've all got to pay for our Kinder surprises.
Oh, yeah. Right, now, question three. We're moving on to question three of Bang Bang's Quick Six. Bitch or butch?
Is that me or them?
You know the rule.
I would probably say biatch.
Good job you didn't say the opposite, as I really would have laughed.
Do I have to give a reason now?
Of course you do, yeah.
If it's me going for somebody, then I prefer the little campiness rather than the butchness.
Oh, so you look for more
campness
in somebody?
Have you seen my husband?
I didn't like to say.
He likes to think he's butch, but no, he's... when I first met him, he had a pink streak down his hair, had his little Vivian Westwood belt on, and a blue body warmer.
And you thought... You had little memories of you and your dungarees and your pink shirt, didn't you, back in the days of Thorntons.
I need another drink.
And of course, you know, the friends that mix around you as well, because there's Camp Dale as well, isn't there?
Yes, exactly. Most people who are around me have got that little camp tendency. I've not got any sort of Muscle Mary friends. I've not got any sort of...
Apart from me, of course.
As I say, I've not got many butch friends.
You are a bitch, you're right there.
Official Lord Mayor is the bitch. Okay, so that's quite interesting. That, yeah, because it reveals a little bit more about you as a person, doesn't it? Really,
I guess so. Yeah, I guess so. Because I like that warmth. I like that connectivity there.
This is Bang Bang's Quick Six quick questions, which I'm aiming straight into the heart of Carlos de Mahan, Lord Mayor of Manchester.
Hey, kids, you know that every episode of Chinwag is done completely free, doesn't cost a penny or a dime, and it's just one of the many ways that we sisters try and entice you to donate money to good causes. So, if you have a few pennies to spare, please go now to our website at www.themanchestersisters.org and just click on one of the donate buttons. Every tiny bit helps, and we rely on your generosity. So donate now at www.themanchestersisters.org. Thank you from the bottom of our goodly hearts.
Sister Bang Bang.
Yes, it certainly is. And Bang Bang's Quick Six, of course, this week comes from the Lord Mayor's Parlour in Manchester Town Hall. It's lovely. Do you know, I've looked around and there isn't one surface I can see that needs a dust.
There is over there. That thing's filthy.
On the writing desk.
I'll be having words.
Well, you could have got away with that one there. Right, we've done three questions so far. We're moving to question four now for you, Carl. Summer or winter?
Summer. Summer, summer, summer. Oh, you want to know why? Just because I think it just uplifts everybody. Everyone, when it's summer, when it's nice, when it's sunny, I can walk down the street and I will smile at people and be like, hiya. When it's winter, no one will acknowledge that. No one will want to speak to you. So definitely summer, definitely sort of just shirts, shorts if possible. I hate wearing trousers and hate wearing jeans, but I love wearing my shorts and I'd wear them all through the winter if I had to. But
what colour are they, by the way?
Various shorts. I've got a mixture of blue and khaki and red and yellow and green and purple and...
And pink.
Obviously, yeah. The pink.
Obviously.
But, yeah, summer. I just think everyone just is nicer. Everyone's friendlier. Everyone's just nice. I know nice is a really crap answer because nice is a biscuit. But I just think, as in nice, but I just think summer just sort of brings the best out in people. Mm. Obviously, if people had a drink in the summer months, it can bring the worst out in them. But in the whole, I think it's a nicer way. It's a more friendly way.
I totally agree. I think where we're situated, Manchester and the northwest of the UK as well, is that we do have quite decent summers here, but the winters are a little bit on the naff side, aren't they?
It's horrible. It's just, you know, the leaves fall off, it gets dark, it gets wet, it gets soggy.
Cold.
Yeah, but and then that let's just put that into perspective, because dark, cold, soggy, wet, that's going to make you feel depressed, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
Whereas sun, glass of Prosecco on Canal Street, you know, you're smiling already.
Actually, I've got a little plan. When, of course, we're the summer months now, when we're recording this. When it gets to summer, let's go to stay at Sister Indica's in Florida, because that's far warmer. It's warm all the year round. Should we just decamp over there?
I'm happy to do that, and I'm happy to go to San Fran as well, because I believe that they've got...
They hate that, by the way.
What?
Hate San
what?
Fran.
Oh, is San Francisco?
They hate the San Fran, apparently, yeah.
Get over yourself.
Sister Roma did a little video on that. It's San Francisco, as Judy would sing. Mm. So, yeah, definitely summer. Yeah, I agree totally with you there. I love summer. I'm just not a fan of a cold climate. I wish I could move away in winter. Or just take the whole of Manchester away to a summer.
Just pay your heating bill.
Oh, and of course we're not allowed heating in the convent. You say again, you know, we have
they
to live
them
on the
cast iron things that you know, the oil that you.
Yeah, but they're not for heating; they're for wearing.
Oh right,
you got that bit wrong, didn't you? Okay, right. Moving on to question five of Bang Bang's Quick Six: Mum or Dad?
Mum.
Okay.
because my mum is still alive. My dad died in 2001. I love my mum to bits. She has been an inspiration. We may not have always seen eye to eye. She may have, you know, over the years, there may have been issues when I've tried to come out, like I said earlier. But that's just mum being mum, isn't it? Mums always want to look after you. Mums always, they want the best for their children. And one thing I will say is she has been 100% loyal, beautiful, and she's 80 years old. I love my mum.
Oh, that's lovely. Have I met your mum at all? Has she been in any of the crowds?
I would imagine you will have seen her. You will have seen her. She looks a little bit, to be fair, she looks a bit like the Queen.
Well, and this is another story we're going to have to get to as well, the real Queen. But she looks a bit like our Queen.
Yeah. She does. I'll get another picture for you as well.
We're going to be sat here like till midnight with all these pictures.
Looking at pictures. But do you know what? Pictures tell 1,000 words.
Yeah.
And...
Mind you're not doing so badly at the moment. You're coming out of your gob is a few thousand words, isn't it?
Well, when you put me in this situation, you know best.
Absolutely, and I would have invited you if you hadn't got a gob on you, really, isn't it? Moving into question six now, though. Is it going to be tweed or glitter?
Glitter. Always. Everything about life is glitter. Mm. And it's, you know, I love a sparkle, I love... It just, again, it's a bit like the summer question, really. A bit of glitter just makes you smile, it cheers you up.
It's hell to put on as makeup, you do realise.
I don't know where it comes from, but on many, many, many occasions, Simon turns round to me and says, you've got a bit of glitter on you. I've not got a clue where it comes from, but it just seems, I don't know if it's in the house, if it's just, maybe it's my aura. Maybe my aura is glitter. And I have got a glitter ball in my house.
But that thing with glitter, though, it's a bugger to get rid of.
I don't mind it.
But it doesn't matter if there's an occasional bit, because it looks a bit like, I don't know, sparkly sweat, doesn't it?
I'm with it. Mm. I'm just looking at your bit of sweat now, and it's not sparkling.
It's not...
But
that's because I'm nervous around you, Carl.
I can imagine. I suppose it depends what colour glitter as well.
I've got some... I'm just gulping some wine there. We are on the wine. I can really feel it going to my head. Black glitter is my favourite.
Black
on the lips, black glitter lipstick, to die for.
I've never had that. I've now got an image in my head, looking at you, deep into your eyes and into your lips.
Steady.
Pucker up and blow, as they say.
Oh no, divine, because it's that sort of subtle little bit of glitteriness going on there. But you know, actually, it's high camp black glitter.
Yeah.
You're not convinced, are you?
No, I'm it's a bit like black toilet roll.
Oh, no, it's not. It's nothing like black toilet roll. Ooh, that's...
Simon Carl has black toilet roll. And a friend of mine, Richard, he actually got some one weekend when we were going up to stay with them in Hull. And they had this black toilet roll, and I just didn't understand it. I was like, am I... Right, is this the wrong thing? But you do check, don't you, when you wipe... But if you've got black paper, how do you know if it's done?
Well, yeah, but you'd still notice, would you? Because unless you were pooing something black, then it would still show. God, I've never had this on Shinwag before. Oh! Look, that was Bang Bang's quick six. Let's draw a line under black toilet paper. How do you know Simon Cowell has black toilet paper? Have you met him?
Is she reported in all the papers?
Oh, right.
It was in Heat magazine.
I can see plenty of copies on the Lord Mayor's tables at the moment. That was Bang Bang's Quick Six. This is Sister Bang Bang with my special guest, Lord Mayor of Manchester, Carl Austin Behan.
Hey, yes, you! You want to find out more about the Manchester Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, don't you? The history, how to join us, and hundreds of hints and tips for a good night out. Well, not hundreds, but certainly quite a few. So, kids, stop obsessing about Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram for one moment and get on over to www.themanchestersisters.org to find out about me and the other fabulous sisters. It's as simple as that. www.themanchestersisters.org. Mwah. You're listening to Sister Bang Bang's Chin Wag.
It is, yes. It is definitely Chinwag with yours truly, Sister Bang Bang Ladasha, the Manchester Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, the Lord... I keep saying the Lord, because you don't say it. It's Lord Mayor of Manchester. Get it right, Bang Bang. Carl Austin Behan. And you've done so many different things in your life, from being a half-day butcher to... Well, just all sorts, being in the RAF... But you've also, you had another title before Lord Mayor, didn't you?
I'm still very proud of that title. And I'm still very proud. I still fully believe in it. And I still fully think that it's still relevant now as what it was then. Maybe in a different guise, but yes, still fully believe in it.
And I think, isn't that where we first met?
We did.
And you won it.
I won it in 2001.
Let's get this right, because we're not revealing it yet, are we? The fact is, you won the title Mr. Gay UK.
I did. Back into... Well, I was Mr. Gay Manchester 1999.
Right, that'll be where I first met
Yes.
you.
And then... So I was Mr. Gay Manchester 99. And then I came second for Mr. Gay UK for the 2000... In fact, for 99, because then they didn't hold a heat in 2000. So then the next heat was 2001. So I actually won it in 2001. But I did. I went in for it twice. Second in 99, first in 2001.
So it's like a Miss World competition. You just have to get down to your swimming trunks, don't you?
You do. But also the year that I did it, it was the first time they'd done it where they did it on telephone votes. So it was a case of trying to get people rallied round to do it. For those who don't know, Mr. Gay UK, it's a beauty pageant that at the time was basically, it was hairdressers and dancers on a podium that would normally go in for it. However, after being kicked out of the Air Force, after being in the fire service, after... Oh, we've not mentioned that bit.
No.
That's another bit. After the fire service... And then setting up my own company and just being what I would say a normal person, as in normal bloke, sort of not stereotypically gay, screaming, shouting, that I just thought it was relevant for us as a community to have someone who people could relate to rather than your Larry Graysons and your Julian Clarys. And I also felt it was important that you could reach out to other communities and other groups, not just in Manchester, Birmingham, Brighton or London where it's acceptable, but... your Derbys, your Worksopshire, Oswestry, your little back towns that people don't have no connection with anybody gay other than being as a hate crime as it would be classed now, where they just criticise and moan about them or bitch about them. And this was at the time when we didn't really have mobile phones, we still didn't have the internet, and we were using sort of pages to text people.
Yeah. And chat lines. Remember the chat lines?
I do. I think I spent a fortune on them. And the ironic thing was it, I did. I actually ended up doing a chat line advert.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Hi, this is Mr. Gay UK.
I remember. I'm sat on this. I was late on. In fact, there was two actually. One, I'm lay on a grass on a beach on a like a big towel, sort of rolling over doing it, and it got used for quite a while, even like up to a couple of years ago on Channel 4, where because they don't do them anymore, do they? I don't think they show them anymore. And the bizarre thing was the guy that owns and ran Mr. Gay UK, Terry George, is like, oh yeah, I'll just do a video, just do it. I hadn't realised I was doing this chat line video until I saw it on telly myself.
Oh, you've been crafting, was
he? He was doing it like. Just use a phone and have these pictures taken.
Yeah.
So, do you know what? I have no issue with it whatsoever.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a bit of fun, that, isn't it, really? Yeah. Maybe I should just do the chat lines if they still existed. Anyway, I digress. Carl, Lord Mayor of Manchester, it's been an absolute delight to chat with you and find out more about you. I've not been too bad, have I?
No, you've been very good. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. And I think the glass of wine have helped.
I know. I'm impressed you could say the word thoroughly.
Thoroughly.
Last thing I'd like to ask you, though. Don't worry. It's what I ask everybody.
We had the Bang Bang Six.
No, Bang Bang's Quit Six. No, that's been done. When you get to the point of having to have a gravestone made...
Yes.
What are those words that you'd have put on it?
Quite easy, really.
Is that what you'd have on your gravestone? Well, Carl Austin Behan, quite easy, really.
I'm reading more into that now. I know one of the questions, it was mum or dad, and I said mum. However, I think for my gravestone, when I did eventually come out to my dad, that my mum didn't want me to do because she thought he'd blow his top and it'd all go pear-shaped. It was the first time in a long, long time he gave me a hug. He gave me a kiss on the cheek and he did say to me, life isn't a stage, you have to make it what you make it and enjoy. Mm. And that's what I'd like to have. Based on that, something based on that, life isn't a stage, it's your life, enjoy.
And so to the epilogue. Now, this week I thought I'd engage with you over friendship and what can happen when you're friends. As some of you may know, Chinwag came about because the luscious Sister Indica, far, far away in Florida, has a podcast radio show called Joy Bomb. I heard it, was impressed, and decided to do my own podcast, and voila, here we are with Chinwag. And I've got a friend out of it too. So, we're continuing the friendship theme, and in 2 weeks' time, by the wonders of technology, Sister Indica and I'll be recording a special sister show where both of us will answer your question. All you have to do is get off your sweet ass and send your question over to either one of us. How simple is that? So what would you like to know about Sister Indica and Sister Bang Bang? Well, that hasn't already been put in the press. Ask anything. Absolutely anything. And we'll answer it. But time is running out. We need your question before July the 8th. That's the date. Put it in your diary, July the 8th. Otherwise, you'll end up feeling low and depressed knowing you've missed out on this fabulous opportunity. So, message either one of us directly. Keep your question private and do it right now. This second. Come on! And Sister Indica and I will look forward so much to answering it. Don't forget, has to be in before July the 8th. Lots of love. Bang, bang.